First of all, I just want to share, last month we baptized 9 Muslims, praise God, in the Canary, praise the Lord. And we only baptize in the winter, just to make sure they really mean it. But by God's grace, we have 9 more Muslims that are on, because you see what takes place with Danny knows, we can't introduce them to one another, because we have to keep them in different teams, different cells, because in the Palestinian Authority, if one of them becomes a believer, he's taken in to the Palestinian police, that way he doesn't have the names of the rest, so we have them in different groups. It just happened to be this group, it's the first time they met one another, and it was fantastic. Praise God. We give out food every 3 months. We live in Ariel, we have 250 Holocaust survivors, and every 3 months we give out food. So let's say last Friday we gave out 90 people in 2 hours came over. But this has been for about 2 or 3 years now, and by God's grace, 3 of them became believers. So it's really fantastic. And what takes place when we give out food, we don't want to give out food without the Bible. Because if we give out food without the Bible, then I feel like the UN or the Red Cross or something like this. Yeah, it has to be with the scriptures. And the mayor, I met with him last week with Hanan Lucas. We met with the mayor, and he's interested in having Christians. I don't know if you know history of Ariel. The mayor just passed away about a year ago, Ron Ackman. So we have a new mayor. And this new mayor, I did not vote for him. I was voting, and in fact, I used my home as a center for the other mayor, the other candidate, because it's a part of way how to finish work with society. In fact, people that came over were people that never really spoke to me or didn't want to speak to me. But when we met together in the candidate meeting, you know, we started to mingle together and be part of society. It's so important, right? So we voted for the other guy, Yossi Chen, and someone said to me, you know, that's too bad you voted for Yossi Chen, you lost your vote. I said, not really, because I got 4 t-shirts with his pictures. I used it as a pajama. So I did pretty good. So Hanan Lucas and I, myself and my wife, we met with the mayor last week. And he's very open, and he wants the Christians to continue the tradition of coming to Ariel. So he said to me, well, we have a whole big room, you could put the food in there, and then, you know, that way, you know, you don't have to use your home. If you don't really know, it's the apartment next door we use for the people we're gathering food. So I said, no, that's okay, because we need to hand out Bibles, because once it's in the area of the area of the City Hall, we cannot give out Bibles. And that's the whole thing, to give out the Word of the Lord. And the youngest Holocaust survivor is 75, and the oldest is 90. So life is like an airport, some are coming, some are leaving. So we know, we want to prepare them to see the Lord. And it's just been fantastic. They've been the sweetest people. They've been fantastic. Praise God, so we're really happy over that. Yeah, and then two of my boys, they rededicate themselves to the Lord. I had an operation, maybe some of you know, I had cancer, and they removed about 12 inches, but I had to be operated twice. I was operated the next day, something went wrong, so they had to operate me twice. So I was there 11 days, and I just had a great time witnessing there. And it was really good, praise the Lord. Anyhow, we were down, we did a campaign with the Jews for Jesus down in Be'er Sheva. We did 4,000 phone calls, SMS, a couple of thousand. We went out to the streets in Be'er Sheva, we went to certain places, and we handed out literature. Now, I lived in Be'er Sheva for a year and a half. I've been here 27 years, I guess. In a year and a half, I used to live in Be'er Sheva, so I knew, already know the atmosphere in Be'er Sheva. They're very slightly religious or superstitious and things like this, even though they're not religious exactly. And they were so open, it was incredible. Now there's a Bible study taking place from the people that became believers. We had the police show up about 20 times. I counted 20 to protect us from the Yalachim people. In fact, the Yalachim people came over so many times. They broke out tables, they did certain things. Just one punch, that's pretty good. So he says, I looked at him, one of the guys, his name was Benny, I looked in his eyes. I said, Benny, because he took my, I had a whole bunch of what you call tracts, literature. He just took it away from me. I said, you see, and the people started, you know, we were in the Shul, in the Yeshiva. I said, you see how much he wants the gospel? He takes all the tithes from himself. He's not giving you anything. So I went over to Benny and said, you know, Benny, look into my eyes. You believe in Yeshua. You believe, you have to believe in Yeshua. You've been studying the Bible, you've been studying the New Testament, you've been studying. He didn't say no. I know him. You know, it's interesting. He did. We became very good friends at the end. Praise God. So, I was in Tel Aviv, and someone, one of the ministers, was kind of talking down about the campaign down in Be'er Sheva. So I called him on the phone. First of all, I videotaped in my mind, I reviewed his conversation with me to make sure I had it right. So I called him up in the morning, and I told him, you know, brother, you know, as we were talking, there was some kind of a negative attitude you had towards the campaign that you heard about down in Be'er Sheva. He says, I can't talk to you about it now, but I'll talk to you in the evening about it. He calls me up in the evening, and he says to me, I'm calling you up to respond to your question about the campaign. He says, this is just between you and I. The campaign went fantastic. It has nothing to do with the campaign. It has to do with me. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of rejection. He says, I'm not there. He says, could you please pray for me? I spoke to somebody else, and he said to me exactly like this. He says, I'm afraid to die. I'm afraid to what happened to you might happen to me. They put a bomb in your house. Maybe they'll put a bomb in my house. He says, I'm afraid to die. Pretty honest. I said, dying takes 5 minutes. To live for the Lord is hard. To die is easy. Praise God, we go home. Yeah. If you're afraid to die, you die every day. Not about knives or bombs. About small little things. Even fear of the people. If you die, if you're afraid, you die every day. If you're not afraid, you only die once. So that's a good deal. Praise God. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind. So, last week, I had a dream. The Lord likes to talk to me a lot in dreams because He knows where to find me. You know, we have a new doctor in town in Ariel. And I was talking to him in the vegetable stand. He says, I help people sleep. I said, really? I need a doctor to help me get up. Praise God, I enjoy my sleep. I went to sleep. All of a sudden, I'm very good friends with a mega church in the States. A mega church. So we're very good friends. So in a dream, my friend is a minister. He's a fantastic guy. He really is. He doesn't drink because his father was an alcoholic. So for Kabbalah Shabbat, he never takes it. Wine, any kind of drink. He would not take it because of what took place with his father, which I knew his father. So in the dream, I give him a cup of wine. When I give him the cup of wine, he drank it and he starts going like this. This is incredible! What is it? What is it, this drink? I never tasted something like this in my whole life. David, what is it? He says, what's the name of this drink? I said, it's called persecution. He didn't drink all of it yet. He just went like this. He says, I'm not ready yet. We're called to His glory, and we're called to being together, but we are called also to His sufferings. And the way the world is going, it won't be avoided. It can't be avoided. The world, we are in the last days. Our governments are becoming very antichrist, and eventually we will reach that point where we will have to come out of the gate and stand out there with Him alone. Praise God. Anyway, that's the best drink That's the new one, persecution. Praise the Lord. I just want to talk about salt. Yeshua said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, He says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the whole human race." We are. But if the salt loses its saltness, then it loses its flavor. It says it becomes worthless. And it's thrown away, and people walk right over it. Salt is sodium chlorine. It helps to maintain our bodies. We cannot live without salt. It sends the electrical signals to our nerves. It maintains our heartbeat. It controls the fluids in our body. This is what salt does. Salt is essential not only for human beings to live, but also for animals, plant life, and sea life. You will find salt in every single, basically in every single product you buy, whether it be for industrial purposes or for eating. It is the most effective preservative still to this day. Yeah. Concerning the industrial use of salt, there's almost no limit on how salt is used. There are many references to salt in the Bible. In ancient times, it was a very high value thing. Salt was used as money. It was used as cash. The Roman soldiers used to get paid sometimes in salt. This is where you got the word salary from. Salario. Salary. From the word salt. The Greeks used to trade slaves for salt. And this is where we got the expression, not worth his salt. Because they used to use salt to trade with slaves, for slaves. Wars were fought over slaves, over salt. And whoever controlled the salt in ancient times, in fact not too long ago basically, controlled many nations. Trade routes were established by the supply of salt. Whenever the salt ran out, the empires fell. In fact, the Roman army had a special unit. And the Roman Empire had a special unit in the army. Just their role was to conquer the salt mines and to keep the salt being flowing and to keep the salt mines for themselves. Civilizations fell and rose because of something called white gold or edible gold, which was called salt. If you do a study on salt, you could be for hours. The way the Romans conquered, let's say when they went to Spain or they went into France, which was called Gaul, what they did, they deprived the enemy of salt. This is how they were able to conquer them. And the Romans, and like everybody else, they wouldn't be able to conquer anyone if they didn't have enough salt, because there was no refrigeration and they needed food for days and for months and for years. So salt had to be available in order to keep the food fresh. You can't fight a war without food. Common people used to have salt. But the rich people had a different kind of salt. It came from the Himalayas, called crystal salt. You know how much, if you buy it today on the internet, how much it costs? 1 kilo is $30. You look it up. 1 kilo is $30. For the reason why, this salt was given to royalty because it gave you health. In the 15th century, Venice, the city in Italy, became powerful, beautiful and rich through trading salt. The French Revolution, part of the reason why there was a French Revolution is because there was a salt tax. that's very unpopular in France, and that was one of the things that led to the French Revolution. Napoleon, when he went into Russia, when he retreated, thousands of his soldiers died. Why? They didn't have enough salt. So the soldiers couldn't heal, and salt was also used as medicine. So many of them died because they didn't have salt. Gandhi in India, how did he conquer? In April 1930, he went to the shores. He picked up some mud with sandy mud, and he says, "With this, I will conquer the British Empire." And he did. He broke the monopoly of salt. The Romans, the Persians, everyone else had a monopoly on salt. This is why salt was so expensive, because they controlled it. And people could not live without salt. The reason why Yeshua said, "You are the salt of the earth," is to tell us how valuable we are. Salt was worth, was the same price as gold. And the Lord was telling us how much we are worth. Once you know God loves you, you could do almost anything. You could do almost anything. You could walk. I had a guy pull out a knife on me. I was in Nablus. I hang out sometimes in Nablus, not so much right now. The Muslims is amazing how they become believers. They become believers so quickly. I think they want to kill you a little bit. But besides that, you know, they're very open. So like I said, we've been having so many Muslims become believers. It's been incredible. Oh, we had three Israelis accept the Lord 2 months ago in our meeting. And of course, you know, the Russian immigrants, three. So that's six altogether. So we'll praise the Lord for that. But I was in Nablus. Wow. I was in that because one of the guys, he calls me up in the morning, Sabbath calls me up, and says to me, "David, they know in the village I'm a believer, I don't know what to do. David, I don't know what to do." He says, "I feel like I'm going to have a nervous breakdown." Sabbath's father is the religious leader of the town. He's a religious teacher of the town. So one day I'm going to bring him so he can share. So I says, "Sabbath, you know," He calls me in the morning. We're in the car. I said, "Sabbath, don't worry about it. Just get ready to die. Prepare your soul, but don't be afraid. Don't deny the Lord." He says, "David, I don't know what to do. I'm trembling." He went home. He went home, and then he calls me up the next morning. He says, "David, something happened. Come very quickly." So I meet him in the morning. I said, "What happened, Sabbath?" He says, "Something happened to me last night. Last night I was speaking in a different language that I didn't understand in my dreams. And my mother woke me up." This was a couple of years ago, before we got married. He says, "My mother calls, tells me, 'Sabi, you're speaking another language the whole night. I don't understand you. You keep on shouting out these phrases in a language I don't understand.'" He says, "It's true. Last night I dreamt about something that I was speaking a new language." So he says he got up and he put toothpaste. When he put toothpaste, all of a sudden he went to brush his teeth. He got filled by the Holy Spirit. I said, "Sabi, what kind of toothpaste have you been using?" So he says to me, "Let's go to Nablus to give our Bibles." I said, "Yes, Sabi, you have to use wisdom." He says, "Forget about the wisdom, I want to go to Nablus." I said, "Okay." So we go in my car that works by faith. We go into Nablus. We push it and then off. And we're giving, and the entrance of Nablus, for those that know Nablus, there's garages, but there's a group of religious people there that, they use the house as like some religious thing there. So he tells me, "Let's talk to them." They're all with the jalabiyah, all, and then with the beards and the whole thing. He says, "Those are the people we want to talk to." I said, "You sure?" He said, "Yeah." Okay, we went over there, we started to talk to them. And Sabbath started giving out the Bible in Arabic. And then one of the guys, about 15 years old, he takes out a knife, about this small. If it was a little bigger, I would get a little pretty small. So he comes over to me slowly. He comes over to me slowly, very slow, and kind of trying to intimidate me a little bit. So as he's coming forward, he looks like my cousin Jose, you know? So it's very difficult to be afraid of someone you really love. Also, I started feeling love for him from another guy. Like, you know, I felt love for him. As he said, then I gave him a hug, he put down the knife. He had a sandwich for the priest because the priest was like, do I just say whatever? And we ate and we sat down and had a good time.
But once you know God loves you, you're pretty good. Salvation, the word salvation comes from soul. Salvation. Salvation comes from soul. Salt was one of the ingredients in the tabernacle for the incense in the tabernacle. In the Day of Atonement, you had to have salt because when the high priest went into the holies of holies, he had to add salt to the incense so there could be a white smoke in order so you won't see God's glory. The Lord says, if you see my glory, you'll die. So the smoke had to be there. Salt preserves meats. It prevents it from decaying. So it decays very slow. So it was one of the main ingredients for the mummies. Preserving mummies. Take a look at that's interesting. Where are we? In the book of Ezra, chapter 4, verse 14, maybe you can look it up when you get to the house, because in English you don't see it. Ezra chapter 4, verse 14, it says, the king took care of us. And then it mentions about the enemies of Israel, concerning about the letter they wrote to the king. In Aramaic, you know what it says in Aramaic? It says, we ate, the king provided for us salt. During those days, during Bible days, if somebody took care of you, you would say, he's very well salted. He's very well salted. He's very well preserved with salt. And when you look it up in the concordance, you'll see it says, that's what it says. Ezra, when he went back to Israel from Babylon, being in Babylon for 7 years, it says he took salt with him, and the king gained salt without limit. What does this mean? It means we are the salt of the earth, and it means that if we're the salt of the earth, we have to have salt within ourselves in order to give flavor. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, Mark chapter 9, verse 50, it says to have salt within yourselves to keep the peace. Look at the words we get from salt. Salad, sauce, sausages, sailor, soda. So many words we get from salt. Health, salud. In the offerings, there has to be salt. Salt was basically involved in everything, the priesthood. In Numbers chapter 18, verse 19, it says the agreement that the Lord had with the Levitical priesthood, it was a covenant of salt. The promises that God gave to David concerning his line, it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 5, it says, is a covenant of salt. On Shabbat, the Jewish people still dip the bread in salt to remember the sacrifice in the temple. Salt brought healing. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 19 to 20. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 4. It talks about salt bringing healing. Salt makes you thirsty. And when we have salt within ourselves, we become thirsty for the things of God. But if salt loses its flavor, it loses its value. Look what, so you can know. Salt, if you take salt, it doesn't lose its taste. You know that? It doesn't lose its saltiness. Salt, by itself, does not lose its saltiness. It does not. What Yeshua was saying, what was taking place during that time, the Romans, what they did to sell the salt, they put chalk inside. They contaminated it and made it weaker. Or, if they had a silo full of salt, which they had to, and it became contaminated with other things, it wasn't good. It was useless. So when we get contaminated by the things of this world, we lose our flavor. That when we meet other people, we don't have taste. So Yeshua says not to lose our saltness. Saltness.
You know when we lose our saltness? You know when we don't have any flavor? When we don't forgive. When we hold bitterness. When sin comes into our life, we lose our saltness. And this is why it's so important to forgive.
If you don't forgive, then you lose the power that God has given you. Praise God. We close at 12:30, am I correct? Yeah, I don't know. What do you do?
As you meet people, say, Lord, anoint me. Just spread your salt on them. Just spread your salt on them. Yeah? And this is what the Lord wants us to do.
Now, what used to happen when the salt lost its saltness because it was contaminated, you know what the Romans used to do? They used to take that salt, they used to take the silo full of salt, they put it on the ground, and they made rolls. That's what they used to do. The Romans had made rolls. So what happens? Yeshua said, if you lose your saltness, people are going to walk all over you. We have to have salt within ourselves. We are the only epistle letter that somebody will read. We have to have saltness.
If you feel that you lost your saltness and you lost your taste as a believer, it's very simple to get it back. I'm just saying it's very simple. You take a couple of minutes, you go into a secret place, and you tell, Lord, here I am. I lost my saltness. I lost my taste, Lord God. Give it to me back, Lord, in Yeshua's name. Give it to me back. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to close with this. I'm a dental technician by profession. My teeth are like stars. They come out every night. Yeah.
Everybody knows this verse I received. It says, open up your mouth wide and I'll fill it. That's how I got into a profession.
Been doing it for many years. So, I've been doing it now for 37 years. I was relating to our sister here. I work a lot with cancer patients. And we did fantastic, fantastic work. I was privileged to work in the best lab in New York City at that time. We did the Kennedys, we did Hollywood, we did many, many people. But we had a certain section for cancer patients that lost, or people that were in accidents, that we had to rebuild them back, especially in the jaw area. Wow, we did amazing things. We took a person and for an accident or for an operation, and we had the pictures before and after. It was incredible how we were able to restore, especially a particular person. She was a young person, 22 years old. I mean, she was 22 years old, and the thing that took place, we completely made her beautiful again. In fact, she had to go to the psychiatrist later on. She was like, that's so real. She had to go to a psychiatrist so she could accept herself because she was completely new.
So, in Isaiah chapter 66, it says, God, that the earth is his footstool, the heaven is his throne. And he says, but who does he look down on? Who does he look down on? It says, those that tremble at his word.
And that are broken in spirit. The word broken there, as you know, it means we get the word handicap from nehe.
Look it up when you have time. It says broken spirit. It says for those that are handicapped in spirit. One thing about being handicapped, everybody has their form of handicap. When you're handicapped, there's always something that's not convenient that's with you for your whole life until you see the Lord. Jacob was like that. Jacob, when he fought with the angel, when he walked, He was handicapped. He would all walk with a limp. And when you're handicapped before the Lord, you're always conscious that there's something in you that's not perfect and something in you that lacks. And when you know you're lacking before the Lord, it's so easy to receive. So God could look at the planets. He could look at so many things He has done. Just like I personally, I just caught that thought when I looked at that young lady. I said, it's amazing how she was transformed. I was amazed that I was part of that process of changing her. But God could look back and say, well, here's David. Okay, then he looks okay. But let me look at my stars. Maybe look at the universe. Let me look at things and things that the human being doesn't even know yet, which are the things that God has prepared for him. No. He looks at the direction of a person that's handicapped, that knows he's handicapped. He knows he needs the Lord. And it's very easy for that person to receive. Very easy. But when you don't feel handicapped, when you feel you have it all together, it's so hard to receive from it. But when you know that you're lacking your life, then it's easy. I'm much closer to this thought. I think I said that about 10 minutes ago. Anyhow. I praise God for this church. I praise God for the body of the Lord. But if we feel we lost our saltiness, is it we are able to get it back? And the anointing oil, there's a lot here in Jerusalem. The anointing oil was really a perfume. If you look at Exodus chapter 30, it's actually a perfume. There were spices, and there was a scent to it. In fact, that scent, the Bible says, it was not allowed for anyone to reproduce it or to imitate it, or else they would die. They would be cut off from people. Whenever you walked into a place, so there were certain things that had to be anointed with that anointing on. It was the furniture, it was the high priest, the tabernacle. But the high priest had that anointing oil on him, and there was a perfume of heaven. When that high priest left a room, you would know the high priest was there. You would know it, because he left behind him the scent, the aroma of heaven. And even as we are anointed by the Lord, and we have the perfume that comes from the Holy Spirit, when we walk into a place, I enjoy what we were talking about, what you were talking about in earlier, wherever we are, whatever is in us, that's what people are going to sense. That's the aroma we're going to leave behind. Either we're going to have the scent of Babylon, which is the things of this world, that when you leave, well, you kind of get an impression of the other person that there might not be something right. Or you can leave behind Yeshua's aroma in somebody else's life and give life to that person. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray. From the beginning of the meeting, from the beginning, the Lord has been speaking in this assembly. Through the songs, through the testimonies, through everything else. I'm going to pray in the name of Yeshua that as we leave this assembly, that the Lord will give us back the joy of salvation, that the Lord will give us back that relationship with Him. I'll just be honest with you. If I don't hear the Lord's voice within a week, I count there's something wrong. It's possible to be a believer yet. Possible to be a believer and the Lord hasn't spoken to you in 10 and 20 years. In a month. Years. But there's no reason to. If the Lord offers His salt, His perfume, His relationship with us, there's no reason to have that. Father, I just come in the name of Yeshua. Lord, You said that we shouldn't use the simplicity that we have in You. Lord, I pray for everyone in this assembly, Lord God. Lord, that we will all enjoy Your anointing. Enjoy Your salt, Lord God. Be valuable to You. That we will know how valuable we are to You, Lord God. That we can just
walk in the simplicity we have in you, Lord God. Help us, Lord, to start this week, Lord, with your aroma, Lord, with your salt, Lord God, preserving us, Lord God. Lord, we pray for a new work in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen.